Today, countless religions are operating in the world, and in many secular countries, people practice various beliefs and multiple sets of idols dominate each culture. However, in ancient times, a nation's gods were linked to its identity, whether big, small, powerful, warlike, or peaceful. Countries were regarded as successful when they conquered the nations around them, and their successes usually were credited to their gods. It was therefore crucial in the ancient times to establish, often by warfare, an answer to the question, who is the most powerful god in the land? Our passage reminds me of the contest at Mount Carmel recorded in 1 Kings chapter 18, and when the prophet Elijah challenged the 850 prophets of the false gods Baal and Asherah to a contest to see whose God was real and powerful. In Isaiah 41, it is as if God is standing in a courtroom challenging the idols of different sizes and design to prove that they are the real deal. God, like Elijah, calls the idols and their worshippers to a contest, and he challenges them to respond. In verse 21, he says, "Present your case, set forth your arguments." He issues invitations to the court as the king of Jacob, verse 21, and he invites various gods to prove their abilities in verses 22 to 23. Why did God call for this contest? It's because his people had wandered from him to worship other gods. It is therefore a fundamentally important challenge because it seeks to answer the question, who really is the one true God? So God challenges the idols to prove that they have the power that only a true God possesses. He challenges them to do two things. One, to demonstrate that they have control over history, verse 22. And secondly, to demonstrate that they know the future, verses 23 and also verse 26. The Lord God requires evidence of this supernatural ability to be presented in court if anyone dares challenge his authority. Such evidence must be transparent and provable. It says in verse 23, "Do something, whether good or bad, so that we will be dismayed and filled with fear." This is a great challenge, and the matter before the court must be decided. It's either these other gods worshipped by Israel are indeed gods with power to act on the world, or they are false. God's assessment of these idols in verse 24 is very striking, because he says that they are less than nothing and their works are utterly worthless. In other words, it's only God who is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, and everywhere. Only God knows what the future holds. He can direct the paths of men and women now, and he has a good plan for them in the future. Through this challenge, God asserts his supreme sovereign authority in a way that shows us how foolish it is to worship gods made of wood, silver, and gold. And he also says that those who worship these gods are an abomination in verse 24. This is a very strong Hebrew word denoting something that has the stench of a rotting corpse. The use of such strong language reminds us to take idolatry seriously. God never speaks lightly of the sin of idolatry. Tim Keller defines an idol as anything more important to you than God, anything that absorbs your heart and your imagination more than God, anything that you seek to give you what only God can give. It is whatever you look at and say in your heart of hearts, if I have that, then I'll feel my life has meaning. Then I'll know I have value. Then I'll feel significant and secure. We all have our own idols: family, career, fame, talents, money, success, hobbies, certain habits, etc. We may laugh at people who worship idols of wood and stone, yet the truth is that whatever we hold more important to us than God is our idol. That which dominates our imagination, thoughts, and thoughts will determine our lives and character. Therefore, we need to be careful what we worship, because one of the primary laws of human life is that we become like what we worship. Thus, every day we need to take up the challenge in Joshua 24:15. Choose this day who you will serve, whether the God your father served in the region beyond the rivers, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. May that be our prayer every day. Amen.